Galatians chapter 3 from verse 26 to chapter 4 verse 7. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out Abba Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir.
Thanks, Bronwyn. That might seem like an unusual choice for a Christmas passage, and yet there's one phrase in there that might have been a cue for you as to why I chose it. Born of a woman. See, now that might not sound astounding because we were all born of a woman, every single one of us. The astounding thing that we celebrate at Christmas is that God himself was born of a woman, that the Creator came into his creation as one of us, a human being. And we're going to look into that for a few minutes now this morning. But please pray with me first. Heavenly Father, these are astounding things that we recall and celebrate this morning, that you did make that choice and that sacrifice to send your Son to us, for him to leave the glory of heaven, the only true heir of heaven, to come down and live in this world, and to take our burden of sin upon him so that we could inherit what belonged to him, so that we could become heirs of heaven as well. Father, help us to understand your incredible gift to us in Jesus this Christmas. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got a bit of a confession to make this morning, and that is that I actually have a bit of a love-hate relationship with Christmas. There's lots of things that I love about Christmas. I love getting together on Christmas morning. I sort of missed it last year when we did Christmas Eve. Christmas Day didn't feel like Christmas. I love getting together with you guys to sing the Christmas carols and to remember the Christmas story. I love the carols that we have outside on the Sunday before Christmas to celebrate with the community these wonderful truths about Jesus being born into this world to save us from our sins. I love getting presents, I've got to say it. I love getting presents on Christmas morning. The fact that I can be guaranteed of a new shirt to wear at church on Sunday morning, and plenty of other good things besides. I love actually giving presents as well at Christmas time. I'm sure you do too. And especially when you know you've nailed it. You know, like the person that you're giving to opens their gift, and rather than sort of puzzlement and why did you get me that, it's like, yes, excellent, just what I wanted. That is a great feeling, isn't it, to know that you've given a good gift. There's plenty of things that I love about Christmas, but there's actually some things that I hate. And they're all to do with the sort of dumbing down of Christmas. You know, the careful ignorance of Jesus at Christmas time. Really, Christmas is all about Jesus. It's the remembrance of Christ. That's what the word means. And yet, we seem to live at a time when what matters more is what Christmas means to me. Add those two words at the end of it, and then everybody's happy to talk about what Christmas means to them. And so, as part of this careful ignorance. You know, you walk through the shopping center and all the carols aren't actually carols at all about Jesus. They're all about snow and sleighs and cold weather and odd stuff like that, chestnuts. I don't understand half of them because they don't really relate to us at all, do they? So I've got this thing going on where, yes, I do love Christmas, and yet there are aspects of how it's celebrated in our culture that I hate. And the problem is, or a big part of the problem, is that when I start saying things like that, or when I start even just thinking like that, I'm worried that I'll be thought of as a bit like this guy, you know, a bit like the Grinch, as if I'm just down on Christmas, you know, and if I want to take it away from people or something like that. You know, their Christmas, what Christmas means to them, want to steal it. I think it was actually on TV on one of the channels no one watches last night. The Grinch who stole Christmas. You might be familiar with his story. And that's terrible because I'm concerned that if I come across as being down on Christmas, as if I want to take Christmas away from people and what it means to them, then maybe they'll think that God's like that too. Maybe people will think that Jesus is somehow against Christmas and against the things that we all enjoy, against all the presents, against all the celebration, against all the festivity of it all, against families getting together and all that sort of stuff. Look, this morning I just want to assure you that Jesus is not against those things. Jesus is certainly not the Grinch who wants to steal Christmas. So what's the alternative then? Well, another popular concept of Jesus or of God, I suppose, at Christmas time can be this fella. This friendly little guy, or this friendly big guy, the big red jolly fellow, Santa. It may be God and Jesus that they're a bit more like Santa, because, you know, Santa, his job is to come and give us whatever we want, isn't it? And I wonder if that's an alternative concept of God at Christmas time. Yeah, sure, God's not down on Christmas. God wants to come and make our life good and give us whatever we want. We just make our list, we take it to Jesus. And so long as we've been good, we'll get what we ask for. Have you noticed how much that is creeping into the story of Christmas? I've heard multiple carols now that talk all about how talk all about how Santa gives presents to those who are good or nice and not bad or naughty. Now, have you ever wondered how you would go if Santa followed through on that threat? If Santa actually withheld presents from those who had been bad during the year, I don't know that I'd go so well. I think our Christmas tree, or at least underneath it, would be pretty bare at Christmas time if Santa ever followed through on that threat. I was talking to a friend from a European background in the last week or two, and he was telling me the story that their Santa Claus, or their version of Santa Claus, he's got a book. And in that book, it doesn't just have the names of who's been naughty or nice, but it actually has what you've done wrong in the book. I think parents dob their kids in. I think that's how it works. And he can actually read out to you, well, I read here that you've been, you know, we've done this during the year. And the worst thing about this Santa Claus is if you've been really bad, he can take you away. That is a pretty serious Santa Claus, isn't it? I don't know if it ever happens, but my friend said that because he was so worried about it happening, every day, every year when they went to see Santa Claus, he would make sure his Swiss Army knife was in his pocket. Just in case, you know, just in case Santa Claus tried to take him away. It's a funny idea, isn't it, that Santa will give gifts, but only to those kids who have been good. Is that what God is like? Does God give or withhold gifts depending on how good we've been? Does God give or withhold Jesus from us, most importantly, depending on how good we've been? Is that how it works? Well, there's two fictional characters, a Grinch and Santa, sorry if I've blown his cover there, who may remind you or give you an idea of what you think God is like and Jesus is like at Christmas. But in the passage that we had read for us earlier, I want to show you that God is neither like the Grinch who wants to steal your Christmas away from you, or like Santa who is going to withhold good things from you depending on whether you've been good or bad. Rather, Jesus came to give us the best Christmas of all. And the two things that I want to show you in particular from that passage are that Jesus is really into presents, into gifts, good gifts, and he's really into family. So have a look with me, if you will, particularly at verse 4, which is where things really come home for us in this passage. So you'll see it on the back of that little sheet there. It says that when the time had fully come, and what's being talked about there is the very first Christmas. That was the time when all God's plans came together, when he was ready to put his plan into effect. When the time had fully come, God sent his son. And this is the gift. This is the gift that we celebrate at Christmas. This is the gift that proves that God is not a Grinch, that Jesus doesn't want to take something from you, that God wants to give you his very best. That's the fact, isn't it? If God is going to send his son from heaven to earth to be born of a woman, then that to me is proof that God wants to give us his best. God sent his son, born of a woman. It is astounding, isn't it? It's a barrier for a lot of people to belief that the creator of the world could possibly inhabit the creation that he made. And yet this is the miracle, the wonder of Christmas, the mind-boggling wonder of Christmas, that the God of all creation, the one who made everything, became a made thing. He didn't set aside his godness, and yet his godness filled humanity, filled the baby that was born at Christmas time. And we see here also the circumstances of his birth. Born of a woman, born under law. Now, what that's talking about is the fact that God does actually care about whether we're good or bad. There is a law. There is a standard that God has for the creatures, the people that he's made. And we all fail to meet that standard. We're all under a law, and we all transgress that law. We all break that law. And Jesus is born under that law as well. But Jesus is born under that law, read on, to redeem those under the law. That word redeem means to buy back. In fact, it means to buy back slaves. And so the story of the world is that because of our sin against God, our rebellion, and the fact that we can't even live up to our own standards, let alone God's, we're slaves. Slaves to sin under that law with a price on our heads. But God loves the world so much that he sends his son into the world to live under that same law, but to live perfectly and redeem, buy back the world, to buy us back with the precious price of his son. And when he does that, the incredible thing is that we don't just go from being slaves to sin to slaves to God. We actually come into his family. So I've talked about the present, the wonderful present of God, the gift of God to us in Jesus and the salvation that he brings. But Christmas really is all about family as well. Now, I'm sure you love that aspect of it. I can see lots of family here today. Extended family obviously come to town to celebrate Christmas together. And that's a great thing to do, isn't it? We love it. I want to take you into a deeper mystery this morning, though. That the Son of God comes to make us sons and daughters of God, to bring us back in to God's family as adopted children in God's family. Look there. To redeem those under law that we might receive the full rights of sons. Now, it talks about sons because in the time it was sons who received the inheritance. Of course, ladies, you're also included in this, though. We've just read, if you go back a few verses, it talks about the fact that there is now neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, all one in Christ Jesus. And so God has given us Jesus that we might be welcomed back into God's family. We might receive the full rights of sons. And what does that mean? What does a son get? The son gets the inheritance. And so we're no longer slaves, but sons. And since we're sons, we are heirs. You see, this is what Christmas is really all about. It's a grand story, isn't it? Grand story of the Son of God coming into a fallen and broken world where people are held captive, slaves to sin, to break off the chains and break open the bars and the cells, to set free those people, to buy them back, to pay the price, and to bring them into his loving family. That's Christmas. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And if you don't know about this wonderful gift, if the best gift you get today is whatever you unwrap from under the Christmas tree, then you've had a really poor Christmas. If you've replaced that thing or Jesus for that thing. And if you think that the best family you can belong to are the people you're going to have arguments with later in the day, just kidding. Well, you might. But you know, if that's as good as it gets, then you're missing out too. Then you're missing out too. Because the best thing about Christmas is the welcome that we can have through faith in Jesus into God's family. There's nothing better than calling God Father, knowing his love, and knowing that we have an eternal inheritance guaranteed to us because of what he has done for us through his Son Jesus. I hope you have a great Christmas, the rest of the day, celebrating it with the presents, with the family, and also knowing God as your Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your awesome gift. Nothing better could be given, nothing more precious could be given to us than your Son Jesus. And yet you didn't stop short of giving him to us at first Christmas. Father, help us to understand how all this works. Give us a genuine desire to know you and genuine faith in Jesus so that we can know you through him. Father, fill our hearts with wonder and with love and gratitude and praise to you this Christmas. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.